This is the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company, and always streaming at rightscast.net. If you're tuning into this episode, it's probably because you want to learn more about Instagram, and Instagram is nothing if not a platform that's all about having really high-quality photos available to post. And well, if you're the kind of person who has a book available or plans on having one available soon, you're going to need a number of high quality images of your book cover ready and raring to post to platforms like Instagram. That's why, personally, I use Mockup Shots, which is an online software brought to you by the folks at Adazing. And Mockup Shots is going to save you tons of time. Well, how? Because you can upload an image of your book cover, just the same cover image that you would use on, say, Amazon or on your website, and it'll Photoshop your book into a number of beautiful, picturesque settings. Think an image of your book available in a library or on someone's phone as if they're listening to the audio version of the book. Yes, all of this is possible, and it's only clicks away if you use Mockup Shots. And right now, listeners to the RightsCast Network can get an incredible deal on Mockup Shots if they visit bit.ly/coverphotosdeal to cash in on getting this app available to them right at the tips of their fingers. So again, that site is bit.ly/coverphotosdeal. Visit it, check out Mockup Shots. I know you're going to love it just as much as I do. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, what's Instagram worth? Financially speaking, it's valued at more than $100 billion, and it has 800 million monthly active users with more than 600,000 new accounts being opened every day. So if you're an author who is not on Instagram, now might be the time to get on board. Or if you're an author on Instagram who's struggling to break through, well, hang in there. This episode's guest is an Instagram aficionada, and she'll be walking us through the ins and outs of the platform over the course of our conversation. Hey there, I'm International Book Awards finalist and RightsCast Network founder R.R. Campbell, and welcome to episode 91 of your listener-supported R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. Brianna Morgan is a young adult horror and fantasy author, playwright, and freelance editor, specializing in working with indie authors and small presses. Her books include Unboxed, A Writer's Guide to Slaying Social, Reflections, Touch, a one-act play, and Blood and Water. In addition to writing, she's also active on social media, especially on Instagram and Twitter. I'm really thrilled to have had the opportunity to chat with Brianna about Instagram, and I'm sure after tuning into our conversation, you'll be ready to take on Instagram with renewed vigor. So let's get right into it. Stay tuned after my conversation with Brianna to learn more about what you can look forward to next on the RightsCast Network, and thanks, as always, for listening. Thank you so much, Brianna Morgan, for joining me for this episode of the R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited for this.
This should be a really fun conversation. I find myself really enjoying Instagram when I have, when I have the time to hop on Instagram, I enjoy it. I'm on it all of the time, scrolling and giving out likes and commenting when I can. So there's no shortage of time for it anyway. But Brianna, why don't we talk first, actually, before we even get to the why of why authors should consider incorporating Instagram? Can you just describe for people who might have no idea what it is? What is Instagram in your own words?
Right. So Instagram is a media sharing platform. It used to just be for photos, but you can also share videos. It's kind of like a curated visual feed of people's lives. Some people focus on perpetuating a brand with a certain aesthetic and things like that. And other people just kind of post their food or whatever else they want to if it's a more personal account. And it is mobile only. Well, it was mobile only. You can access it on desktop now, but you can't upload photos from the desktop. So it's kind of become a huge time suck social network for people who are just, like you mentioned, just scrolling through their phones.
It's easy to do. There's a lot of really nice pictures on there. And, you know, you can just drop in and say hi. It feels like a little more friendlier than some of the other social platforms, at least in my experience so far.
Absolutely.
And why don't we talk then about the why? You got at this a little bit with your previous answer, but why might someone consider getting on Instagram specifically in their capacity as an author?
So I see a lot of authors debating whether or not they should get on Instagram just because it is primarily a visual medium. And obviously you can't just, you know, post screenshots of your book all the time. That wouldn't really attract people. And then you're also giving away a whole book for free. But the appeal of Instagram, I think you hit on it pretty well. It really helps in building a community. It makes you a lot more accessible and a lot more approachable to people. And it is a great way to generate hype for your upcoming releases and things like that. Honestly, I would say probably 75% of my book sales come from Instagram. Wow. So I really think authors that aren't using the platform are really letting sales go.
That's incredible. I didn't realize that it was such a sizable portion of the sales that you drive, but it's really good to know that that sort of success is out there to be had. And for some additional context, and I'm providing this only because I was doing a little research this morning for what it is that I will have said to introduce you when the music is playing in the background at the start of the show, but I learned this morning that there are 800 million monthly active users on Instagram and more than 600,000 new accounts are being opened every day. So it's a happening place, folks. And, you know, if you're not one for Facebook or Twitter, Instagram could be a nice cozy little spot for you, you know?
Right. And I've found that Instagram also tends to be less toxic in terms of, you know, it's easier to curate your feed on Instagram and decide who to follow and whatnot. And most people, you know, are posting more uplifting content. They're not complaining about losing their job in a picture of like some trees or something like that. It's almost always positive notes on what's going on in the world around them.
And that kind of ties me into my next question here for you, Brianna, which is what advantages Instagram has over other social media platforms. So we're touching on positivity here. Feel free to elaborate on that or add some others. Just let's explore this space a little bit.
Right. I've found that as an author, Instagram makes it a lot easier for me to be transparent about almost all parts of the process. Transparency is, for anyone who doesn't know me, isn't familiar with my brand, transparency is a huge part of my brand as an author. And I really love how Instagram allows me, and anyone really, to share snapshots of the behind the scenes stuff when it comes to writing. You know, you may post an excerpt on Twitter, but you can't necessarily, you know, through like a video, you can show the process of going through a manuscript and editing. You can show different covers and things like that on Instagram. And, you know, like you mentioned, Ryan, it's easier to drop in and kind of just hang out for a little bit. Whereas I feel like especially Twitter moves so fast that it's easy to miss things. And Facebook is kind of a political mess and whatnot right now. So Instagram is just like a nice little, it's almost like a museum. I feel like it's an art museum of sorts. So I like that. I like that it makes it so easy to connect with other writers and readers through, you know, hashtags like Bookstagram or hashtags like AmWriting even. You can just go in and find millions of posts of people who might be interested in your work or, you know, in your what you have to offer as a writer in terms of community.
And you mentioned hashtags there, which I think is something that it's really important we discuss, because in my experience using Instagram, I have found that hashtags are used quite differently there than they are on Twitter, which is, I think, where a lot of people, you know, originally associate the idea of the hashtag. So where Instagram is concerned, what role does the use of hashtags play? And then how can we use them effectively?
Absolutely. So like I mentioned, hashtags are a great way to find a community and connect with a bunch of people. A common mistake that I see people make with hashtags is they go for the really popular saturated ones, which, you know, is fine on Twitter or Facebook if you're just, you know, live tweeting an event or trying to get in on a big movement. You want to go into a trending topic maybe and use that hashtag, but that won't get you anywhere near as much traction on Instagram. On Instagram, it's about not only choosing hashtags that are relevant to your niche and relevant to your content, but also, you know, not oversaturated. So I urge people to maybe stay in the 50K to, let's say, under 200K in terms of the number of posts in the hashtags. Just because when you get past the 200,000 and up into the millions, so many people are posting that the odds of your image, no matter how good it is, gaining traction and gaining popularity and being seen by more people is just, it's not likely that you're going to blow up.
We're now only days away from the launch of Kill Your Darling Candle Company's full fall and winter line of candles. If you're into pumpkin spice, cedar, or if you're gearing up to slay writer's block during this year's NaNoWriMo, Kill Your Darling's Candle Company has you covered. Not only will they have as many as 6 candles available to carry you through the rest of the year, they're continuously developing new scents and keeping their operations sustainable with soy wax, cotton wicks, and custom fit packaging. So if you're looking to bring a little more light to the page, visit kydcandleco.com today to start illuminating your path forward. Again, that's kydcandleco.com. Kill Your Darling's Candle Company. Candles for the wordsmiths of the world. And one thing that I have found being really helpful for me in trying to generate or think of the hashtags that I might incorporate with my posts, because Brianna, as you know, Instagram will only allow up to 30 hashtags on a given post. They want to make sure that you're not going super spam anyway. But I've been using websites like best-hashtags.com to try and get me thinking about, okay, well, I'm going to put in a hashtag that feels really relevant for this post. We'll see what this algorithm spits back at me as other ones that I might use. But I think to your point earlier, what a site like best-hashtags.com does is it gives you the most popular related ones, and then you end up with a ton of hashtags. For example, when I'm doing marketing for Kill Your Darling's Candle Company, well, all the hashtags that it's producing for me are ones that have millions of posts, and that's well beyond that 50K to 200K range. So Right. Do you have any tips for folks to try and, how can they find the hashtags that are in this sort of Goldilocks zone?
So it does take research. I'm not going to say that it's easy. It takes time definitely to find the best hashtags that work for you. But one thing that has helped me is if you have managed to find, let's say, 2 or 3 hashtags that work really well, you can go in and search for that hashtag. And at the top, it'll show you other related hashtags. And you can usually just click through those and see if they fit that zone. Or you can go to accounts that you love, see what hashtags they're using, and kind of work through and do the research that way. But unfortunately, I have not found a super efficient way to find the best hashtags, like you kind of hit on. Anytime I've used a website or an app to find the hashtags for me, they've not been the most effective. So I tend to advise against that.
And I'll say that it was effective initially in getting a foothold and reaching some new accounts, trying to break out into the community, specifically where candle making and things like that were concerned. Right. But the return on investment really drops off by the time you even get to like 150 followers. At that point, anyone who is going to be paying attention to those hashtags and following accounts based on that, they're probably already following you. And so as I'm finding, continuing to use those hashtags and doubling down on them really has diminishing returns. So I think to your point, going around, checking out other accounts you admire, seeing what they use, trying it out for yourself, and then doing that research, it just seems like that's going to be an important part of developing our platform on Instagram.
Right. And the 2 other pieces of advice I would have when it comes to hashtags are, number one, don't be afraid to mix things up. Like you said, sometimes, you know, when you use the same hashtags over and over again, you get diminishing returns. And obviously the best thing to do in that case would be to evaluate which hashtags maybe you're ranking for and which ones you aren't. Get rid of the ones that aren't working and try new ones. And the other piece of advice I would have is to have several different hashtag groups, because if you are using the same hashtags over and over again, Instagram might flag you as spam and you could get shadow banned, and then you won't rank for any hashtags and your posts won't show up except to people who are already following you, which is kind of the worst case scenario. So I have, I believe, 5 groups of hashtags that I use depending on the type of posts I'm sharing. And I try to swap those out every couple of months just to keep things fresh.
And with those groups that you have created then for these hashtags, is that something that you will store on like a third-party app or in Word and then copy? I personally, because I know that you can't post from desktop, one of the things that I like to do is send an email to myself in which I have written the content of my long Instagram post and listed all the hashtags out by typing them out or by copying and pasting them in, so I don't have to use my thumbs to do it on mobile. Is that something that you have found a workaround for yourself, or is that something that you just kind of, do you store these hashtag groups on, you know, in a Word document or in an email somewhere? How do you keep track of all that?
Right. So I used to store them all in the Notes app on my phone, and I have changed. I use the app Later. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. Yep. Mm-hmm. You can upload posts to that and schedule them to go live at certain times. And they have a hashtag suggestions feature that I don't use because you have to pay extra for it, but they do have a caption feature where you can save your captions. So I have started saving my hashtag groups as captions. So then when it comes time for me to share a post, I'll just type the content of the post and then I click the save captions section and then I pick the most applicable hashtag group and it populates in there for me.
Well, and I appreciate you sending the reminder to me about later or introducing it as an app to our audience, because there was a time where I was using Later for my author account. But as I have not only my author account, but I have this RightsCast Network account, I have the Candle Company account now, it spiraled a bit out of control. And I know that Later, if you want to use more than one account with it, I believe you have to get the paid service. And so it fell off my radar. And well, Now I have more reason to go back to it and maybe give it another shot here, because I will say it is very arduous to schedule emails to be sent to yourself at the time you want to post an Instagram post, then copy that from your email, then drop it in Instagram, then post the picture. It's a lot of steps that shouldn't have to be there.
It is. I'm a busy woman, so anything where I can, you know, streamline my process, I am more than happy with.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to the Kill Your Darlings Candle Company co-founder here about making an investment in some, making aspects of my job a little easier anyway. So things to add to the docket for the future here. But back to Instagram and hashtags, of course, we're using those. Why? Well, because we want our content to be seen. One of our goals is likely to build a followership. So what are some of the ways that you have found most effective in growing your following on Instagram?
So it's funny that you say this, because I was just talking to someone about this. A lot of people don't like it when I say this, but if you really want to build a following and increase your engagement, you have to be engaging and you have to seek people out. You can't just kind of, you know, post something and then not answer comments or anything, just let it sit. You have to like and respond to every comment you get, ask questions in your captions that make people want to engage with your content. You shouldn't be posting about yourself all the time either. Feel free to do some self-promo, but especially in the beginning, nobody wants to hear about your book every single day when they don't even know you. You shouldn't be focused on selling. You should be focused on socializing, because Instagram is a social network. And otherwise, the biggest advice I would say when it comes to building a following is go out and reach people. Just go out and start talking to people. Go in the hashtags and start conversations with people in the comments of their photos. Leave genuine, genuine comments. Don't just be like, you know, heart emoji or check out my page, because no one's going to want to interact with you.
Oh, God, yes. Those are the worst.
I see those all the time. Especially don't ever DM someone and then leave a comment being like, check your DMs, because that is not, it's just not good. Just don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing too, that has been a recurring theme in these social media oriented episodes, is that there is such an emphasis on the media aspect of it all that we sometimes lose sight of how important the social angle to it is. Because as I learned in doing book promotion for my first round of releases last year and the year prior, it is not the case that if you plot it, they will come. It is not the case that if you make post after post about your book and how it's doing and how excited you are about it, if that's all your platform is, that doesn't necessarily create engaging content. Like you say, you have to be answering people's questions, you have to be asking questions, and your comments need to be a little bit more than the star, star, heart eyes, emoji, you know, little house, whatever it is that you're going to choose to use to engage with that person. It's fun and games once in a while, but really trying to turn it into a conversation seems like something that I would think would be in our favor anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it always pays off to have a human element to your social media and your online presence.
There it is. It's that human-centered marketing again. So on that point, though, you know, we're talking about being social on social media. There is, of course, yes, the media side of it, which is where I know a lot of people spend their, they spend their efforts, they focus their efforts, they spend their time, I should say. Is there any kind of content on Instagram that you find tends to do better than other content? What do Instagram users seem to enjoy most?
It's funny, because I think this has changed. I've been using Instagram for, oh God, probably 7 years. And I would say that the type of content that's done well has really changed. I used to say, you know, steer clear of like just Canva created content, where it's just like, you know, this graphic design that you can scroll through, or like listicles that people have screenshotted. I used to say, you know, never do that. Only post original content. I used to say, don't repost and things like that. But it's really changed because now Instagram is more focused on keeping people on the platform longer. So if you're doing those informative carousel posts where people scroll through, the algorithm loves those.
Hmm.
Yeah. I have also noticed in terms of photos that selfies, a selfie every once in a while tends to do pretty good just because, again, the human element, people like to know that there's an actual person behind the account. Obviously, try to make the selfie relevant somehow. Don't just be like, it's my face.
Hello.
Because there are so many selfies on Instagram. And any photo where you can appear in it in any way in general tend to be good. Like, instead of taking a picture just of a book, take a picture of yourself reading the book or putting the book on a shelf or something like that. I think the human element has really, especially on Bookstagram, it really sets people apart from other accounts because, you know, you're not just posting the same book cover over and over against a white background.
And I will say as a pro tip, because it has been my experience that images that have you in them to in some way, not just necessarily your face, but actively doing something, do seem to do better. One thing, and Brianna, I don't know if this is part of what you do. I actually spent like $15 on a small stand that can hold my phone, and attached to it is a small little Bluetooth remote that I can conceal in the palm of my hand, and it connects to my phone. And then I do some things, and then I will kind of like, as I'm doing them, squeeze my palm and it'll snap a photo of me like sitting there reading, or I will have it, you know, putting a bookshelf on a shelf, like you say, or actively at my keyboard when normally you would need a hand free to actually get an image of yourself. Now you can use this sneaky little Bluetooth system and everyone thinks that you've got like someone taking photos of you, but here's the secret. There isn't another person.
I love that. I actually would not have thought to do that. I'm lucky in that my boyfriend is very patient and he likes to take pictures. So anytime I need him, I'll just ask. But sometimes I would prefer not to bother him. So I think I'll just go ahead and look into that.
Yeah, it's like I say, it was like $15-$20 kind of thing. It's more affordable than you might think. And then, you know, you can leave your boyfriend be for a time, or I don't have to call my wife up from, you know, I'm on the second floor, her office is in the basement. That's a whole lot of steps to take to take a picture of me doing something simple. So.
Same concept here. And then it's kind of like they take the picture and they're like, oh, that's it. That's what you're going to post. That's it. And then you feel kind of silly.
And then there's like a whole conversation that has to be had about the subtext of something like that's it. And then, you know, and then where are we? Suddenly we're not posting to Instagram at all, which is not exactly what we wanted. Right.
So not very good.
Yeah, very good. And aside from this idea of getting images on our main feed, I think that something that Instagram has expanded into in the last few years is this addition of the idea of Instagram stories and Instagram highlights. So these are another really big component, I think, to getting eyes on your profile and getting people to hang around for a minute. So Brianna, if you wouldn't mind, what is it that I'm talking about when I throw out something like IG stories and highlights, and how is it that we can make the most of those?
Right. So Instagram stories are, I mentioned that, you know, on your main feed, you can share behind the scenes looks of your writing process and things like that. But if there's other content that maybe doesn't necessarily fit, you know, your writing or books or whatever your platform is built on, I would urge you to share that in stories. And stories are just kind of, they last for 24 hours. So it's short form content. And it is really just kind of impulsive, shoot from the hip content. So let's say that you want to show this food that you made because it's delicious and it looks awesome, but you're not really posting about food on your main account. You would post that in stories maybe, or a video of you, you know, unpacking a bunch of books. You could put that on your stories. Or even a thing that I've done that I've seen other people do as well is if you want to provide more information about your books and who they're for, you could do story snippets of like your book cover and then maybe some pull quotes from the book and a little breakdown. And then you can set those as your highlights, which are stories that stay permanently listed on your account. So if you look at your Instagram profile, your highlights will go right underneath your little bio and everything. And you can create covers for them, and they, unlike the regular stories, they don't disappear after 24 hours. They can be accessed at any time.
This episode of the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast is brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing. Dandelion Web Marketing helps writers like you build thriving author platforms through strategic web marketing. So if you're not sure if you're on the right track with your website, for example, you can get one of their author website audits and find out. And right now, listeners to the WritesCast Network can take 50% off, that's 50% off one of these audits, which will look at your website's content, its security, its design, search engine optimization, and more. And it will provide you with insight into what you might do to better connect with your audience. So to learn the strengths and weaknesses of your current website and save 50%, visit dandelionwebmarketing.com/WritesCast. That's dandelionwebmarketing.com/WritesCast. And what I really like is that you're getting out into the ether this idea of maybe we don't feel like there's some content that's exactly right for what we want to have on our main feed, but feeling like, well, we still want to share that. We still want to give people that behind the scenes look. Why not put that in stories? Because like you say, it disappears after 24 hours. The people who are most dedicated to following you or who track your feed, well, they're going to have an opportunity to see it. And they're the ones who probably want to most anyway. And so I think that there is this idea that when people are told, specifically authors, that they need to build an author platform, I don't know, the old adage is, well, just make sure that it's focused and that it's about books and that it's about writing. And it's like, well, yeah, but on Instagram, we're looking for that more personal stuff. And so maybe you can have your cake and eat it too, to some extent, which is something that I personally really appreciate about Instagram.
Right. And I really love stories because I feel like I've been able to better show people different facets of my personality besides, like, you know, I'm just a writer. I share a lot of, I play a lot of video games, and I'll share, you know, what video game I'm playing in my stories and like what part I'm at. And I have frequently have people message me and be like, oh, you're so close to finishing the game, or what did you think of X scene and things like that. And we start conversations and the DMs that maybe I wouldn't have had with them otherwise. And sometimes those even turn into sales. So it definitely pays off to show more personal stuff. Like I said, I would just advise that you maybe do that in stories so that you don't interrupt your flow of your feed and have people maybe unfollow you because they're not interested in the pie you baked.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I'll say this, our conversation about Instagram stories has inspired me to, well, why not? We're hanging out. We're in the chat. Why don't I take a screenshot of the little funny lines that are moving across the screen while we record this episode and upload it to the Instagram story for the WritesCast Network? Look at that. Behind the scenes stuff, people. Come on, follow the @WritesCast handle. Follow Brianna Morgan on Instagram. What are we even doing here?
There you go. And then you could tag me and I could reshare it. And then my followers would see that as well.
That's right, and that's exactly why I tagged you. So if you have your phone nearby and glance at it, it's right there right now. But hey, you know, we don't have to jump on it now. It's there for 24 hours, right?
Oh, it's up there. I put it up.
Oh, look at that. Oh,
I'm fast. See,
live and in living color, folks. You are watching Instagram exchanges unfold before your very eyes, or I guess ears in this case. Well, so I don't know. Maybe me snapping photos while we're actively having a conversation is on the list of don'ts for Instagram things to do. I guess we'll find out. But are there any do's or don'ts that are probably good to keep in mind for folks in general who might be listening to this and thinking about branching out on Instagram?
Oh boy, I could probably go off on this forever, but I've covered some of this. I have a free social media guide. It is a writer's guide to slaying social. It is an opt-in for my newsletter. So if you sign up for my author newsletter, I can send you a link. You get that for free. It is a short, I think it's 30-page guide to using Instagram, but I can hit the highlights here. Basically, you need to figure out your aesthetic. So how you're going to filter the posts or not filter the posts, what color scheme you're going to go for and things like that, because that's going to help people decide whether or not they want to follow you based on when they're scrolling through your feed, how it looks, because Instagram is a very visual platform. You need to figure out what content you're going to post. I usually recommend people stick to two or three pillars. So for me, I post about writing, books, and horror. Those are all three part of my brand. And I try not to put anything in my feed that doesn't mesh well with those, because then I'll lose followers because people aren't following me for things other than that. So this is where I would advise people, you know, if you're an author and you have a writing account, don't post your dinner. Don't post, you know, the new toilet you installed. Don't post anything. Just don't. just don't post anything that doesn't fit, because you'll lose followers and people won't be interested. And another one that I tell people about is, you know, if you had a baby, that's great. And I'm excited for you. Congratulations. That's very exciting. But if you go from, I see a lot of new parents do this, if you go from posting books and writing to 15 pictures of your baby just laying there on a blanket, it's not going to be good.
You know, it's funny that as you give these good advice, this good advice on don'ts, I'm stroking my chin and I'm staring at my Instagram feed and I'm going, food picture, cat picture. Here are some book pictures, food picture. And I don't know. I totally get it, because you're right. When people come to your profile, what do I want them to see? Well, I don't know. I did make a really good shrimp, lemon shrimp dish, whatever the heck that thing was. But do I want that under my first three pictures? Do I want it sandwiched in between two posts about my books where I'm celebrating a major success? I don't know. A better decision could have been made. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel okay about it. But I'll let you in on a secret. I'll let you in on a secret again. People did unfollow me after the shrimp post. So it's all in what you're trying to do, right?
Yeah. And I mean, again, it is your platform. If you don't care, just post whatever you want. But I'm assuming that the people listening to this are interested in building a brand and using Instagram more effectively. And that is, you know, an unfortunate truth is you are building a brand. Even if you have a personal account, people follow you for a specific reason. And if you stray outside that line, they're going to unfollow you. It's that simple. I mean, we do it to other people, so it makes sense that people do it to us. And, you know, you can post about your food. You can post about it on your stories. Or let's say you have a bookstagram and you want to include food. Just put a relevant book near the food and take the picture and then talk about books. Like, just make it fit.
Yep, that's exactly it. And that's one of the things that I have done in some of my other posts is like, well, this is just kind of a picture of me doing something, but can I tell a story behind it? Can I get a book somewhere in the shot? And I actually had an image maybe a week or two ago that was just me reading on the couch, and you can hardly see the book cover. I mean, really just only the corner of the book cover. And wouldn't you know it, but a very sneaky Instagrammer happened to notice immediately what book it was. And we had a full conversation about it over the course of a couple comments back and forth about An American Marriage by Tayari Jones. And that was fantastic. And had I not included that book, just even in the corner of the shot, that conversation doesn't happen. And I don't wind up with a new beta reader for a manuscript that I'm writing that's in the vein of that very book. So it pays dividends, you know, try to keep it at least a little bit thematic. And I'll keep that in mind for my food pictures going forward here too. That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, I found that, you know, working things in like that has led to some really, really engaging comment sections. And another thing I want to say is that Instagram is changing a lot in terms of, it doesn't always matter if your content doesn't match the caption, if you have a good engaging caption. So like I mentioned before, the algorithm is suited to favor, you know, people who are keeping other people on the platform for longer. So if you're writing these engaging long form captions that spark conversations, Instagram likes that. And it doesn't matter as much if it's just a picture of your face, if the caption is all about, you know, talking about imperfections and how we can, I don't know, I'm making this up as I go, how you can kind of embrace imperfections as a writer, and you kind of go into more of a philosophical debate, even if it's just like a picture of your face.
Right. It's this idea that, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words, but if you can add a couple hundred words below your actual post and get people engaged with a story that follows the through lines that we know all too well as authors, those posts do create a lot of engagement. Again, this is anecdotal evidence, but I have found that if I post a picture from, say, a hike that my wife and I took recently, I use up almost all of the 2,200 character limit to tell a story about how, well, we got perilously lost, but in the end, you know, could we have ever really been lost? Because at least we had each other. You tie it into a theme from your book, you stick the landing, and then suddenly you get a notification from Instagram that you have a post that's doing better than 95% of your other posts. And that's always really satisfying. And it's because there's a story there, people can read it, they can leave something in the comments. And it is good to know that the algorithm does favor accounts that are keeping people engaged for longer, because now more motivation to spend time writing short stories for Instagram.
Absolutely. And again, people can find you through your captions. They can decide that they like your writing style, and then they can go on from there to buy your books.
Love it. Gotta love it. I'm more fired up than ever now for Instagram. All right. You've got me working with renewed purpose here, Brianna. I appreciate
that's good.
It. So you mentioned, for example, that you have this 30-page booklet available for folks to learn more about their approach to social media from someone who has obviously had great success doing so on a few different platforms. Where is it that folks can sign up for that newsletter, and where in general can listeners find you online?
Right. So my two biggest platforms are Twitter. You can find me there at Bri Morgan Books, B-R-I. Or you can follow me on Instagram, of course, at Brianna Morgan Books. And in my Instagram, if you click the link in my bio, that leads to a bunch of other resources I have. It leads to, you know, all of my books, my merch. You can buy signed paperbacks. And I, of course, have the newsletter subscription down there. So if you want to check that out, that's probably the best way to grab that resource. You can also just outright purchase the guide on Amazon. I believe it's there for 99 cents if you would rather do that.
Well, look at that. A lot of options here. I know I'm going to get my hands on that guide. I need to sign up for your newsletter because apparently I had not done so previously. I'm looking forward to that. But aside from all of that, Brianna, I really do want to thank you for taking the time to join me today for this episode of the R.R. Campbell Rightscast on the Rightscast Network.
Thank you again for having me. This was a lot of fun.
That'll do it for my picture-perfect conversation with author Brianna Morgan. Thanks to Brianna for joining us, and thanks to you, dear listeners, for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love it if you could leave the Rightscast Network a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. This will help the Rightscast Network reach more writers like you, and building that sense of community is what we, and I hope you, are all about. To those of you who have already left us a rating and review, thank you. I'd also like to thank the Rightscast Network's patrons who contribute to our programming financially at patreon.com/rightscast. In exchange for their support, Rightscast Network patrons get access to some great patron perks, including Rightscast swag like stickers, t-shirts, and mugs, discounts on my editing services, and entries in monthly drawings for partial manuscript critiques performed by yours truly. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in, you can join patrons like Laura Hazen and Angeline Bowley today in supporting our programming directly at $1, $2, or $3 per episode or per month. Any level of contribution will get you access to some of those fantastic patron perks, so become a supporter now by making your pledge at patreon.com/rightscast. That's patreon.com/rightscast. Thanks as well to our on-air sponsors Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. To learn more about them or our other sponsors, you can visit rightscast.net/sponsors. We're also grateful for audio support from Electronauts, Inc. To learn more about their audio production and maintenance services, visit electronautsinc.com. That's electronautsinc.com. Coming up next on the Rightscast Network is an interview of author Hector Colon, who will join me for a conversation about virtues for life, leadership, and authorship. So stay tuned. That episode will debut on rightscast.net, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts on October 2nd. In the meantime, you can say hello on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rightscast or by searching for the Rightscast Network. We're also available by email at rightscast@gmail.com, and you can now call us at area code 608-284-8342, where you can leave a voicemail with questions for future guests or other matters you'd like us to address in our programming. Again, that number is 608-284-8342. To reach me personally, well, you can find me at rrcampbellwrites.com or on Twitter as @IamRRCampbell. I love hearing from listeners of all backgrounds, so please don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, this is R.R. Campbell signing off. Write on and write well. This is the Rightscast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing, Lost Lake Press, and Kill Your Darlings Candle Company. And always streaming at rightscast.net.